Well, good morning from me as well. A warm welcome to Cornerstone, whether here or on Zoom. We're going to turn to our second reading now, and this is where we'll be preaching from as well, from Jonah chapter 4. In the church Bibles, that's on page 929. 929, but it might be different if you brought your own Bible. And just to say as well, after the sermon today, we've got question time. So not every service, but every so often we have an opportunity for questions, either from today's sermon or from the other sermons from Jonah or just about the Christian faith in general. So if you do have a question, keep it in mind and we can try to talk about it a little bit later after the talk. Well, Jonah chapter 4. Actually, let's pray. Let's pray first before we read this passage from God's word. Father God, we thank you that you speak to us, that you give us your word, that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us through this word. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be at work this morning. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts which are ready to be changed so we can live more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jonah chapter 4, starting at verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at the place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. The Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It will be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said. "I am so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder, when was the last time you got angry with somebody? I'm not talking about low-level anger. I'm talking about blood boiling, wanting to fly off into a rage type of anger. So bad that you might have even wished the other person dead. So bad, actually. You're so frustrated, so annoyed that you might even think, I want to be dead. And you picture that in your mind. It's an ugly scene, isn't it? It doesn't matter how much you're in the right or in the wrong. It's just awful. Well, as we come to the last chapter of Jonah, we've been working through Jonah for the last few weeks. We rather awkwardly see Jonah flying off into a humongous rage. But he's not doing this with Mrs. Jonah or the kids or with a work colleague. He's flying off in a rage with God himself, the God of the universe. He's shaking his fists and in effect is saying, "God, you've got this one wrong." And Jonah has form in this area, doesn't he? If we remember back to the beginning of the book, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? He goes in the opposite direction. "I'm not going to go and preach to these enemies of God. I don't want to do that." Jonah disagrees, so he runs off in the opposite direction. But Jonah found out you can't run away from God. It's just not possible. God's plans were going to happen. And God sends the storm, and Jonah ends up in the sea, ends up in the big fish. And God rescues him, and Jonah ends up in Nineveh, where he preaches about their wickedness, and how God was going to judge them. But what happened? What we saw last week? The people of Nineveh, the evil people of Nineveh, they repented. Praise the Lord. They repented of their sin. They listened. It should be a moment for rejoicing. People have turned back to the living God. Whoopee! But not Jonah. Not Jonah. Because as Jonah sees God's mercy, he's horrified. And the first thing I want us to see from our passage this morning, God's mercy is always bigger than we imagine. Always bigger. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 1 again. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love." Now here we get told one of the reasons why Jonah ran away all the way back in chapter 1. I mean, I remember back in chapter 1, we're thinking, why did Jonah run? And actually, the biggest reason wasn't because he was scared of the preaching or the traveling. He ran because he knew what God is like. And when you know what someone is like, you can guess with a pretty good accuracy what's going to happen. You know what I mean? I know when Led's preaches, there's a pretty good chance he's going to mention a certain Bible verse from John's Gospel. Is that news to many of us? No, it's not. John chapter 3:16, John 14 verse 6, it's going to come up. Well, Jonah knew that God was a God of judgment, but he also knew that he was a God who was gracious and compassionate, merciful and loving. Just think back to one of the encounters that Moses had with God. We read this in Exodus chapter 34. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Jonah knew God because he knew the Bible, he knew the scriptures. But he also knew God because he knew of God's mercy in his own life. You know, the story of the big fish, he wasn't going to forget that in a hurry, was he? He knew of God's mercy and his salvation in his own life. He knew God. And here's the thing. Jonah feared that God was going to be gracious and compassionate and merciful to his enemies, to the Ninevites. Jonah was fearful that God was going to be gracious to his own enemies, the country that nearly wiped out Israel. God, how can you forgive them? Is Jonah's thought. The very people who Jonah thought was beyond God's mercy. As far as Jonah was concerned, God had just forgiven the unforgivable. Now, if you've been looking into Christianity for a bit, or you're quite a new Christian, this might be news to you, because God's mercy is always bigger than we imagine. Always. And this is so important to get our heads and hearts round. Because I meet people from time to time who don't think they're good enough for God. That God's mercy is unable to stretch to be able to forgive them. Well, God this morning is telling us through Jonah that it is wonky thinking, that is wrong thinking. God's mercy is big enough to have the very worst of sinners in his family, in his kingdom. It doesn't matter what skeletons you got rattling around in the cupboard of history. God's mercy can deal with it. Now, many of us here this morning know that God's mercy is already overflowing to such a degree that that no one is beyond forgiveness. We already know that. We know that God the Father, through the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, can reach out to anybody. But the thing is, Jonah knew it in theory, didn't he? He knew it from the very first verses in this book. But God's mercy was even bigger than he dared to imagine. I don't know if you've ever stood on a seashore, looking out into sea, and it just looks like it goes on and on and on. Perhaps into the Atlantic Ocean or something like that. But then you climb into a boat and set sail, hopefully with somebody who knows what they're doing, not with me, because I don't know what I'm doing. And you go out into the big, big, big wide ocean. And it goes on and on even further. And it's only once you've gone into the boat and you're into the ocean that you start to even guess even more just how massive it is. On the seashore, you can get a bit of a picture, but when you're in the middle of it and you can't see any land, wow. Well, here is Jonah. He's in the boat and he's being blown away, not by the storm of chapter 1, but he's being blown away by the mercy of God. And if you're a person here today who's holding on to Jesus' death and resurrection, there is not a single thing you can say or do that can put you beyond the mercy of our God. We know those daily battles of sin, don't we? How we fail, how we, in so many ways. But God's mercy is big enough to deal with it in the Lord Jesus Christ every single time. It always will be. And the people of Nineveh back in Jonah's day, they were a brutal people. I mean, they were the moral equivalents today of murderers and rapists and paedophiles and war criminals and politicians. I don't mean the politicians one, by the way. That's a silly one. God's mercy is big enough for them if they would only repent and turn to him. It's big enough for us. I mean, human tendency always wants to limit God's mercy. Divine tendency always wants to expand God's mercy. And Jonah is seeing this all the more clearly. And here's the shock. He doesn't like what he sees. It's as if God and Jonah are miles apart again. Because my second point this morning is God's mercy is more dangerous than we might imagine. You didn't mishear me then. More dangerous than we can imagine. Because it was clearly dangerous to Jonah. I mean, God demonstrates his amazing mercy to Nineveh, and what does Jonah do? Verse chapter 4, verse 1. He gets angry. And I'm picking up the text in verse 3. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. What a drama queen. He was so angry. He didn't just wish God to be dead, he wished himself dead. I mean, Jonah here, he's not just throwing the toys out of the pram. The bottle, the pillow, the cover, the whole lot's going out, isn't it? God's mercy to the Ninevites was dangerous to Jonah. Because here is a man who believed in God. I mean, Jonah, he took God seriously, didn't he? He followed his ways. He was even a prophet of God. And such a man, because of God's mercy, finds himself telling God that he's wrong. In his anger, Jonah became so arrogant, so big-headed, he was telling God what God should do. I mean, it's like an ant telling a rocket scientist how to fly to the moon. It's just plain ridiculous, isn't it? Yet here is ant-like Jonah shaking his fist at God. And this is dangerous for Jonah's soul. Because this is the sin of sins, isn't it? I'm right, God's wrong. Isn't that what lies behind so much sin? The idea of people trying to boss the God of the universe around, it is bonkers in the cold light of day. But I don't know, you might have found yourself having a bit of a strop at God yourself at some point. I mean, I've met some Christians who have had such a strop at God over something. They've actually gone wandering away from Jesus and the Heavenly Father for months and sometimes even years before they got over their strop and before they come back in repentance and faith. They've been doing a Jonah, perhaps with a few less tears. But it's the same fundamental thing, isn't it? I'm right, God, you're wrong. But it can be less dramatic, can't it? I guess we've all tried to twist God's arm to do something that we want to happen, and we're not sure whether he does or not. God loves to hear our prayers. He loves to hear from his children asking him things, but never demanding. Asking and asking in line with his will. But what's really fascinating here is about what Jonah is raging about. Because most people today, if they're shaking their fists at God, they're shaking their fists because God is a God of judgment, or because God says, actually, you should be generous with your finances, or because actually you should be putting Jesus first in your life. There's nothing more important. No one more important. You know what I mean? We can shake our fists at so many things with God. And we're used to people hearing raging about that, but here Jonah is raging about God's mercy. And you start to think, surely God's mercy is a wonderful and good thing. But I want you to think about perhaps someone at work you've worked with in the past or even now, who blatantly lied for their own benefit to further their own career, if you like. And because of their lie, you and perhaps other work colleagues suffered, and life was made harder. And the lie came to light, but your boss just let them off. Oh, it doesn't matter. What? How can he let him off? I want to see justice done. You might see that able-bodied driver park in that disabled parking spot. And there's someone who's disabled, but they can't park. That's not fair. I want to see justice done. Where's the fine? Perhaps there's that teenager or child at school being bullied, and the bully gets away with it scot-free. I want to see justice done. Or that wife beater who has made his wife and his family's life a living hell. And they just seem to be getting away with it. I want to see justice done. We can find ourselves in Jonah's shoes more easily than we think, where actually we don't want mercy. We don't want to see mercy shown. We just want to see justice. And we can find ourselves being nauseated by God's mercy, by his grace. Now, I'm not suggesting we're like Jonah all the time on this, but I think we all have that capability to go down that road. And this attitude can creep into church life so easily as well. I mean, God, we know you can show mercy to absolutely anybody. And you can bring anyone to you. You can draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ and so they can love him and follow him, which is wonderful, but don't let them come to our church. God's mercy is truly wonderful. But it can be more dangerous than we can imagine. It can cause us to fly into a rage. And we can head down that dangerous road where we can get to the point where we start thinking, and we would never put it like this, but where in reality we start thinking, God's mercy, you've gone a bit too far there, God. But God doesn't leave Jonah here, though, does he? Because he fires a question back to Jonah. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 4. But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be so angry?" And the answer is no, isn't he? He has no right. And the final section shows us why. Because God's mercy is more just than we also imagine. Let's pick up the story in verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Yeah, here's Jonah. He thinks his little outburst that God has done the trick. You know what I mean? I've sorted God out. I'm going to sit here now, and I'm going to, like a forward observer in the army, I'm going to wait for the divine bombs to come coming down from heaven and hitting Nineveh. That's what he was expecting. But instead we get told verse 6. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plants. God has different plans. Instead of divine lightning striking the city, he causes a vine to grow up over in super quick time to give Jonah some shade. And clearly it was enough shade to make a difference to Jonah and his discomfort in the hot summer sun. And in verse 6, the word for discomfort could also be translated evil. It's possible that God could be using a double meaning here, to ease the discomfort, but also pointing to a big plan, to ease Jonah's evil, to sort out this wicked attitude that he has towards God's mercy. And how does this work out? Verse 7. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. God had provided a shelter, then God took away the shelter. He makes it worse. And let's just note, it's God's decision, isn't it? God's action. But it's about to get even worse, because verse 8. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Jonah at this point is sat in a large fan-assisted heated oven. the biggest you've ever seen. The sun is beating down. The wind is, instead of cooling him, it's just making him worse. And then for the second time, in just two paragraphs, Jonah throws another wobbly. I wish I was dead. Now, Jonah, he's been sat on this hillside. He's not been reflecting on God's mercy, has he? And God speaks again, verse 9. Is it right for you to be angry about the plants? And this time, Jonah's answers carries back, doesn't he? Verse 9. It is, he said. I am so angry, I wish I was dead. I find Jonah's attitude here astonishing. You know, I mean, he's saying he's angry about the vine. Actually, he's angry about his own comfort, isn't he? His own, whether I'm too hot or too cold. He's not worried about the plant at all. And then we come to the big conclusion, verse 10. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? I mean, Jonah, he's my type of gardener. He didn't do anything, did he? He just sat back and watched the plant grow and then die. He did no pruning, no watering. He let nature take its course. But it was God who was getting busy. And what is flabbergasting here is that Jonah is more concerned about his own comfort. He's more concerned about a little plant than he is over 120,000 people. God speaking to Jonah and to all of us in Psalm 139. It was read earlier by Charlotte. I won't read it all, but just a few verses. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The people of Nineveh mattered to God. They're worth so much more than Jonah's vine. Even the cows get a mention. They're worth more than Jonah's vine. You see, Jonah's values were all topsy-turvy. He valued the plant more than the people. God valued the people way more than the plants. God's values are always the right way around. And God is always just in how he acts. He sees these people. He said, I want to give you mercy. They repented. They turned back to God. He's going to give them mercy. Brilliant. It was true in the days of Jonah, and it's true throughout time. As God demonstrated when he sent his son to die on the cross, to take the punishment that we deserve for our sin. You know what I mean? We deserve the same punishment that the Ninevites deserved for our evil. But Jesus took it upon himself so he can offer us forgiveness. So our sins aren't just let off, but because Jesus paid the price instead of us, justice is done. Mercy is given, but justice is also done at the same time. God's mercy is always more just than we dare to imagine. So as we close this morning, Jonah was an angry man, wasn't he? Angry at God's overflowing mercy. And he tried to stop God as he ran away, as he argued. But he didn't win. And like Jonah, we need to let God be God. Instead of moulding God in our own image, we should let God mould us into his image. An image that is continually got mercy continually flowing through it. And mercy should be for us a great joy. But in our brokenness, we've got to be careful. We've got to be aware that our minds can twist God's mercy and make it an excuse for anger. And if we do turn God's mercy into anger, it can be a sure sign that we're starting to twist God. But never forget, God's mercy always extends to us, even when we do that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this book of Jonah. Thank you for this true story. Thank you that you have spoken so clearly to us through these last few weeks, Father, about your control in the world, your sovereign power, the mercy that you extend to an evil people, the need for us to call to you for salvation, to repent. And Father, as we've seen in Jonah chapter 4 today, your mercy is wonderful and beyond our imagining, but it can scare us as well, Father, because we don't always like it if we're honest. Help us to see where that might be happening in our own hearts and minds. Help us to repent of it. Help us to rejoice in you, our merciful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.